Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message titled New Commands, New Covenant, as God Built His Nation. Then we'll look ahead at this week's message titled Wandering and see what happens when Israel takes a wrong turn. And finally, we're going to dive a little deeper into the idea of idols and what it means to live as salt and light as Jesus commands in Matthew chapter 5. Without further ado, let's get started. Last week's message was titled New Commands, New Covenant. In this message, we looked at how God was going to continue building his nation Israel. We saw that while he had certainly delivered them out of bondage in Egypt, there were still some things that needed to be addressed. And God chose to do this while they were camped out around Mount Sinai. Now, an interesting side note here is that Mount Sinai was also where Moses was called by God when God spoke to him through the burning bush. And he even told him that you would be bringing the people back here. And now this happened. Well, God needed to handle a couple of different things as he began to build his nation. The first of which was how they were to treat God and treat each other. And this was taken care of by giving them the Ten Commandments. But there's also many other things that God dove into more specifically in the chapters right after this. God also had to deal with this idea of dwelling. See, God wasn't just taking them out of Egypt, but God wanted to bring them closer to him into a relationship with him. And he also wanted them to stand out and be different than the other nations. And that was the point of these Ten Commandments. He then also wanted to dwell with them in relationship, and he gave them very specific, detailed instructions how to build the tabernacle. He also went into this idea of the priests and then the Levite people who would maintain this tabernacle and have specific jobs in relation to it. And finally, he dealt with this issue of sin. See, Israelites and all people are sinners, but God wanted to have a relationship with them. But in order to do this, he had to deal with the ramifications that come from sin. See, sin is going against God and breaking his commands and his covenant. And this was going to happen. So even though God had given them instructions on how to live, he knew that this would not be attainable all the time. So he came up with the series of atonements and how they were to live holy lives. And that's really what the book of Leviticus is all about. And we talked about and joked a little bit about how Leviticus often is the book that catches people up the most. It gets them stumbled, if they will, as they try to read through God's word. But the book of Leviticus tells us many things, but two of the biggest things were that God takes sin very seriously, but he also created a way for them to be able to live in relationship with him. Now, we also know that the future was where God was working towards, and this idea that Jesus would come one day to be the final sacrifice for all sins. And this was also looked at this week's message. Well, next week, we're going to look ahead. And specifically, we're going to see what happens when God leads the people up to the place and they're about to enter the promised land. And they have a choice. They send spies in to scout the land. And is this land really as good as God said? And to also examine what kind of resistance they would meet. Well, the spies came back and confirmed that, in fact, this land is wonderful. It is flowing with milk and honey. And there was wonderful provisions that God would be able to use to provide for his people. However, they also met a small bit of resistance. Well, let's just say it was a large bit of resistance. And the 10 of the 12 spies reported that there was no way that they could take this land. Well, two of the spies were Joshua and Caleb, and they had said, well, yes, there was great resistance, but God was with them, and he had already promised this land. And so the people had a choice. And sadly, they chose to reject what God had said and reject what Moses and these two spies had said, that they would be able to take the land, and they turned and they ran. But they didn't run at first. See, they said they weren't going to go into the land, and God said, well, you have sinned against me. And then over the remainder of this message, we're going to look at what happens when Israel took a wrong turn. What was the consequences of this choice? And what, in fact, would be coming from this in the future. This is an exciting message, and I cannot wait to share it with you. But it is going to be one that really gets at the heart of the matter. See, as believers, do we really believe God's promises and the promised destinations are worth the journey? For the remainder of my time, I want to dive in to a couple topics. The first is idols. You know, last week we looked at 10 commandments that God gave. And the first four we saw were for how Israel was to be in relationship with God. And you know, sometimes we look back at the 10 commandments and we say, do we really have to keep those? And the short order is that they're certainly a good way to live. God gave us some good instructions on how we are to live and to strive to have relationship with Him. And these first three specifically commandments talk about, number one, not having any other gods before Him. Second, to not take His name in vain. And third, to not create any idols to worship. But sadly, just like Israel, that in the midst of Moses being on the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments and so many other instructions, they created an idol that they could see, an idol that they could touch, an idol that they could then worship. And they tried to say, well, it is serving God. We're just using that as a representative. The question I have for you today is, do you have idols in your life? Are there things that take the place that are rightfully reserved for God and His relationship with Him? Do we have things in our life that eat up time, that are maybe not bad things in and of themselves, but because they take the place of God in our life, that makes them an issue? You know, this world is full of people searching for answers, searching for meaning. And they will put many things in the place of God. Maybe it's the use of their time. Maybe it's the pursuit of money. Maybe it's the desire to be influential. Oh man, that's a big one today. We see so many people that title themselves as influencers, and they try to influence what we think and do. And sometimes it's just to buy a product, but other times it's also in how we live. We're influenced in so many ways. Well, I want to challenge you today to examine your life. And are there things in your life right now that take the rightful place of God? Because see, really, we're to be about one thing on this earth as followers of Jesus. It's to bring God glory and to worship Him and to serve Him and obey His commands. And one of the most obvious commands that we're given is to go and make disciples of all the nations, to teach them to obey His commands. Well, how do we know what His commands are unless we're reading His manual, the Bible? You know, I think perhaps the greatest way we can spend our time each and every day is reading God's Word, studying His Word, meditating or thinking on His Word, and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal in our life how that looks. Now, I am just like you, and I have things that I like to do and want to accomplish in this life. But my prayer is that you would, like me, take this challenge of examining our life. Ask God to show you what might be taking the wrong place that is rightfully reserved for Him. You know, there's nothing the matter with having money. There's nothing the matter with having a big family. There's nothing even the matter with having a big house or even being influential. The question is, what is the driving force behind all of that? My prayer is that you would examine what God is showing you right now and take it to Him in prayer. The second thing I want to focus in on in my remaining minutes is this. You know, last week we sang a song called Salt and Light, and it was by Jamie Smith. It was a very simple song and an easy one to follow, but it was so profound, and it really speaks to this idea of idols and what we focus our life on. The opening verse goes like this. It says, "You make me want to be like You. Your holiness I will pursue. I want the heart of Jesus. Show me the meaning of Your grace. I want to live, give this world a taste of the love of Jesus." And the chorus goes, "Make me salt, make me light, let Your holy fire ignite, reveal the glory in my life. I am not ashamed to lift up your holy name. Make me salt. Make me light. You know, it reminded me of the passage in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus was teaching on the Sermon of the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, it says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a lampstand and gives it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that you may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, I was thinking this week, and I was listening back to the message I spoke, and, you know, I made the comment about loving others like Jesus. And while I stand by that statement, and I think that's 100% biblical, this idea of salt and light kept coming back up in my mind over the past couple days since then. And it's this idea that we are called to be salt and light. And I think this really kind of reflects what we're called to be as believers in Jesus, which is to bring the truth with love. We are to speak up what the truth of the Bible says, and we are to do it in a way with a compassionate and a loving heart. But did you know that love really is not what the world defines it as? Love is defined in 1 Corinthians 13, and there's many things in there that speak to what love is. But the one thing I want to hone in is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth." You know, part of being salt means we're going to stand out. We're going to have a flavor. We're going to have something that stands out from the regular flavor of this world. And there are so many things in this world that are not how God intended it to be. And that's really the reflection of sin on this world and the evil nature of the human heart apart from God. There's going to be times when we need to stand up and speak the truth. Speak the truth because we care so much for this world that we realize that apart from Jesus, people in this world are on a one-way train to a place that we don't like to talk about. And that's hell because of our sin in our life. And that we have the answer to that and the solution to that problem. The sin problem can only be solved with a personal relationship in Jesus. And because we love the world just like God loved the world when he sent his son, we care so much for people that we don't want them to go there. Now, we do obviously have to do this in a manner and it's appropriate to the relationship that we have. And so much of sharing the faith and sharing the love and the saltiness that is Jesus with other people starts with building relationship. Now, there's certainly times when we just need to come out and, shall we say, swing for the fences and share the gospel of Jesus Christ that may be in a rough way. But most of the time, the best way we can show love to people is by being in relationship with them, caring about them, and speaking the truth of the gospel into their life. See, we're not going to be able to save people. There's nothing you or I can do to bring anyone to the saving relationship of Jesus. That is all the Holy Spirit, and that is all God and all that Jesus has done on the cross. However, he has given us, as followers of Jesus, the message and the ministry of reconciliation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is that we're given the responsibility to go and make disciples, teaching them to be obedient to him, starting with baptism. And we do this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope this message kind of resonates with you and challenges you to not only look at idols in our life of what's keeping us from doing what God has called us to do, but then to also dive into his word so we know the truth. We know what God's word says so much so that we can present that in a way to this world that would be loving to them, fully anticipating that, you know what, we might be rejected. Well, we're entering certainly a delicate time in our nation's history as we come up on another presidential election. And so many times there is personal attacks from the right and from the left. And, you know, I'm convinced that the media is trying to divide us above all things. And that is because the devil is a divider. The devil is a deceiver. And that is how he prevents God's work from being done. But my challenge to you is to go out into this world confident in the hope that you have in Jesus, with a heart that's changed and loving others so much that we're willing to tell them the truth of the gospel. Well, one more thing before I let you go. I just wanted to remind everybody that we're starting a new small group this week. And this idea of relationship and family that's so important into the framework of our relationship with Jesus as well as our life here on this earth is the center of this small group. We're going to meet once a week where all are welcome, including kids, and we're going to work to go through a passage of Scripture with some activities and some questions and some diving in that we can study God's Word together. There will be a time of fellowship, of course, with some snacks, a time of worship where we'll sing a song together, as well as a time of prayer at the end. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to do something called an outreach activity. And this outreach activity is going to be the light to those that are in our life. We're going to write encouragement cards to different people groups that we can deliver in the coming month. Well, this will be this Sunday, July the 14th, starting at 6 o'clock at the church. Come ready to share a little bit of fellowship, dive into God's Word, and figure out how we can live this life together and be the salt and the light in this world that we live. Well, I hope this episode this week of the At the Table podcast has been an encouragement to you. And I pray that it also challenges you to dive into God's Word. Remember, the tagline for this podcast is helping encourage and equip you as you join on this journey of knowing and following Jesus. Till next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.